For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, so, you know, I know everyone wants to know that. I'm going to talk to the individual players tomorrow. I'm going to have a team meeting tomorrow, and then I'll get it to you guys.
So does that assume you made a decision, you just haven't communicated it yet, you know?
Yes, we've made a decision, just haven't communicated. And honestly, I want those guys to hear it first from me before they hear it from someone else.
Why can't it be done this morning?
Because I'd rather do it tomorrow. When we get, you know, today, look, this morning was a hectic day. We were still working through the roster and things like that. And, you know, as much as you want to have squad meetings, sometimes the time just doesn't permit that.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It's the WEEI Afternoon Show. I'm Christian Arcan. That's Andy Hart. We are live at Fenway. In the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Get going during SUV season by joining the Bronco family or get a great offer on America's best-selling trucks, F-Series, the official truck of the Red Sox. We got a very busy show for you today. Alex Cora is going to be joining us right at 2:30, but we're opening up right now, not with the skipper of the Red Sox, but once again, the head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, and some comments that he made not even an hour ago. He had his 1:15 press conference. He addressed the media. He was immediately peppered with questions about who the starting quarterback is going to be. And there's smoke coming up from the chimney, like when they choose the Pope.
Decision has been made.
A decision has been made. The verdict is in. But you're going to have to tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, to get the answer. That's what he's saying. He says, I know who the quarterback is going to be. I've made a decision. It was my decision, not a big collaborative effort like he insinuated earlier. And we will find out at some point tomorrow morning. Now, he didn't say exactly when. Do you know what their schedule is tomorrow?
No, but I'm guessing they have an 8 o'clock squad meeting, something like that. So he will tell. Sounded like he wanted to tell the quarterbacks individually and then the squad as a whole. And
you don't think they know yet?
Well, I mean, Jacoby told us yesterday that he expects to be the starter and
right.
He expects to be in Cincinnati.
He did.
I don't know with Gerard. I think what you pointed to, though, first of all, I think we need to spin this around a little bit and look at it differently. We keep telling him, say less, don't. But really, he's the gift that keeps on giving. Like, you could go 5 straight Bill Belichick press conferences and get nothing to react to, nothing
right.
of note, only consistency, same day, same quote.
I'm not telling you when I'm going to decide. You'll find out when I feel like telling. He's not going to.
Gerard is the opposite.
Yeah, right.
You
got to
tune in because you never know what he's going to say. And he never know when he's going to change 100% what he used to say, whether it was Judon, like, yeah, we want players to talk and we want them to be open. And then a week later, philosophically, we think guys should keep things in-house and not talk to the media and do things publicly. And now we had a collaborative effort where everybody was going to pick the quarterback, it sounded like. Alex Van Pelt, who has been dubbed the HC of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Elliott Wolf, you got Ben McAdoo, you got TC, whatever the hell his last name is, disrespectfully on the radio saying, I forgot your name. Anyway, the quarterback's coach. All of those guys. Now he's like, no, it's on me. And I don't even need to explain myself. That's what I found. He's become emboldened. It's my decision.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I don't think I need to explain it to the team because if it goes wrong, blame me.
You were referring to the great T.C. McCartney.
T.C. McCartney.
Who you were talking about.
I was going to say Cunningham, but I knew it wasn't right.
That was not right. So good instincts there. Yes, he's owning this. He's owning this decision.
It's all on him.
It's almost like he heard all these people talking about how, hey, it doesn't seem like Gerard Mayo even wants to make this decision.
Right.
It doesn't seem like he wants to have anything to do with it. I'm glad he said that. I'm very glad to hear him say that. It's assertive. It's what a head coach should say. And I think it's a very big reversal, 180 basically, from what he said the last time about the big collaborative effort and how all the offensive guys are going to have something to say about it. I still don't 100% believe that it's just his call.
No chance.
There's obviously people over his head who I'm sure are influencing this call in some way or another, or who have greenlit him to make it, if that makes sense. Like,
right.
They're saying, all right, Gerard, you can pick the week one starter, but if it gets crazy, we're going to intervene. Like, that type of thing. Like, they're allowing him to do that. And if they need to or want to, then they can step in at some point later on.
Is it safe to say there's no chance, whoever's involved, that it's an easy decision, it was unanimous? There has to have been internal debate. However big the room is, however big the table is, mm-hmm. the boardroom, there had to have been debate. We all can't be so different from them, right? It can't be possible that everybody publicly is debating it. And internally, Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, T.C. McCartney, Ben McAdoo, Jonathan Kraft, right. Robert, they can't possibly all be on this. There had to have been some sort of discussion, debate, and like, I appreciate your opinion, but this is what we're doing kind of situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that when you add up the sum of this entire thing, you know, going back to when they drafted Drake Maye, when they first signed Jacoby Brissett, there was an idea of what this was all going to look like.
That plan, I do think,
was hatched right away. I think they sort of said, all right, we're bringing in a guy who's a premier backup in the NFL, would you say, about Jacoby Brissett? I'd say he's a premier backup.
Feels like a stretch.
I don't think so. I think he's one of the better backups in the league, or he's considered, coming into this year, he's considered one of the better backups in the league.
I'd give him a solid meh.
Okay. In terms of backups or in terms of, like, all quarterbacks?
Backups.
In terms of
backups.
Right.
Now, backups are it's a strange group because good backups aren't really backups in the NFL. They end up being starters. So I don't think he's a starting quarterback, so maybe you're right. Maybe he is kind of at the top of the you're a true backup.
That's what I
mean. No one wants you to play, but you're capable of playing when you do play.
And if you have to.
So Bailey Zappi's in that conversation too, right?
Well, he's on the practice squad, so we'll get to him in just a minute. But yeah, I'd say he's in that conversation. I wouldn't put him ahead of Brissett, but I think that when you talk about guys who you don't want to see start necessarily, but you're not freaking out if they come into a game.
Right.
Brissett's right up to him.
Okay.
Minshew, you know, maybe.
Minshew's more of starter. Still thinks he's a starter, that Ryan Fitzpatrick
he
long-term.
He is the starter, right? Isn't in Vegas?
In Vegas.
Yeah. So, right. But last year, you know, when he had to come in for Richardson, like, that was a good situation for the Colts, and I think that would be the same sort of good situation here in New England. I thought that would be a good use for him. When they first signed him, I thought, okay, great. If they're drafting a quarterback, then this is the guy that I want in there. I think that makes way more sense than what they had last year with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi, two guys who were basically the same age, competing with each other. Neither one had any more experience than the other. And it just seemed like, you know, with Hoyer, when Hoyer was out, it seemed like there was really nothing in there. It was just kind of a chaotic quarterback room where both guys weren't very good. Like, that's what you had there. Hopefully you don't have that here, but at the very least you can look at it and say, okay, whatever Drake Maye is or ends up being, there's a guy there in the room with him who's a veteran, who's experienced, and if he has to come into a game, you're not running for the hills. Like, there's value in that.
And a guy that I still haven't really heard a bad word about. We talked to him yesterday about it, the awkward nature of this, and he's been through these before, and he's seen rooms, and you don't get any hints of, Brissett's angling behind the scenes, or he's a backstabber, or he said he'd be comfortable with his role, but he's not comfortable with his role. I've never heard a bad word about Jacoby Brissett. And I think that is a benefit to Drake Maye and really the Patriots as a whole. Because this thing has gotten, it feels like it went sideways somewhere. I don't know how you could, this plan, did they write the plan down? Was everybody aware of the plan? Did they not express it internally well enough? Because to have such a distinct supposed plan and for it to be seemingly so helter-skelter mismanaged publicly is tough to kind of come to terms with, come to grips with.
Absolutely. Mayo went on to speak more about this. He talked about how it was his decision and his decision alone.
Yeah.
Look, they've gone through the process as well. They've gone through the spring with these players. They've gone through training camp with these players. I'm sure they all have an opinion on who they think should be the starting quarterback, but I don't think I have to explain it to anyone else. It's my decision, and look, if it doesn't work, blame me. Blame me.
Coach, what can you do?
I would say one thing. I think it's important to remember, like, what's good for the team today may not be good for the team weeks down the line. And so I think the challenge is, you want to win every single game now, but also we're trying to build something special here in New England. So that to me was, you know, that was a challenge.
Translation, Jacoby Brissett is your starter. He could not have said it any clearer because that sentence doesn't
that sentence
make any sense.
Couldn't apply to Drake.
The other way.
Right. Yeah, it couldn't apply to him.
So he absolutely just told you without telling you because he hasn't told the team, although the team probably already knows as well, because just like those who voted in our poll, that was 78% expect Jacoby Brissett to start. My guess in that locker room is it'd be 100%. They've been behind the scenes. They know what's going on. They know who QB1 is. But that sentence right there, which he didn't have to say, I believe it was Phil Perry, was ready to ask the next question.
He's like, shut up, Phil. I got more.
I got more. I'm going to say something here. I know I should probably stop talking, and Stacey James has told me to talk less.
Shut
but
that
I'm saying
face up right now. I got more to say.
And I'll talk to you when we're on Quick Slants again together in 2 years.
That's right. All in all, I mean, the demeanor. I thought the demeanor, the cadence, everything about it just seemed more assertive. It seemed more like, you know, he's been hearing the whispers around the media or maybe around the building, and he wants his name on this. He wants this to be the first thing that people look at and say, all right, Gerard Mayo became the real head coach today.
You know? Now, does he really? Because remember the last time we heard this? Do you remember the last time we heard this? And it was a decision that was definitely made by the HC. Bill Belichick said when he hired Matt Patricia, and
if
Joe
it doesn't
Judge,
work, blame it on me. I do remember that, yes.
And we know that was his decision.
Right.
That wasn't a collaborative. That wasn't anyone else. That was him making that decision. And then it seemed like he didn't really want to take the smoke later. I'm not sure I ever heard him say, yeah, I really porked that up. That really cost me my career and really screwed up Mac Jones. So it is interesting, this tactic from a usually not so assertive, but maybe you're right. Maybe he's heard the whispers and needs, because you know, if they're going to ask Drake May to be more assertive in his competition with Jacoby Brissett, which is what they did, they wanted him to be more assertive, not be deferential to the veteran. Doesn't the head coach need to follow his own advice and be more assertive and not defer everything to Alex Van Pelt and Elliot Wolf and everybody else? You're the head coach. You're the one who is the face and voice, if not necessarily the actual decisions. You have to at least appear like you're the leader if you're not fully unilaterally the leader, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, no one has any idea what's going on. You're going to end up with backstairs, and we're going to get stories of confusion, didn't know who to talk to about playing time. We're going to get all of that if he doesn't at least put on the front that he is the true leader of this team.
Yeah, and we already have a coach in town who defers everything to goalie Bob. That would be Jim Montgomery.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
We don't need two of those.
Nope, that didn't go well.
Speaking of the goalie situation with the Bruins, we will get to what Jeremy Swayman had to say on the
Shut Up Mike or something.
On the Shut Up Mark podcast. I knew that was wrong. The Shut Up Mark podcast, which this guy, I don't know what this guy's up to, man, but
he's on fire.
He's really got a good booker.
He does, definitely. I don't know.
Maybe it's just chicken. Maybe people really like that Dave's Hot Chicken.
That could be it. I mean, that could be. I like that stuff.
Fastest growing franchise in the country, I heard.
Speaking of chicken, did you see what's going on at Raising Cane's downtown, the downtown crossing Raising Cane's? First of all,
a cake?
David Ortiz and Drew Holiday were there today.
Forget that. There was a cake.
And it's like studded in gold. It looks like a Persian palace. I've never seen anything like it. It's like a golden chicken place.
Careful.
Which I've never seen anything like this before.
It's like a golden chicken place.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Pretty sure that's because it was a golden chicken place.
It is, but I mean, wow. In downtown Crossing, of all places, too.
Yeah.
Which is due for a little bit of a fix-up, you know? I think it's about time we got some more gold-plated fast food chicken joints.
The cake I was fixated on in front of Drew Holiday was also golden.
Was it really?
Like, what do they call that? Fondant? It looked like gold fondant.
I don't know what that fancy crap is.
You don't know what fondant is?
I've never heard that word before. And I speak French.
Jesus. What did you call Dracula yesterday?
Bela Lugosi.
And you've never heard fondant?
Fondant. I'm looking it up right now.
It's
fondant is icing?
Well, but firmer and more easily manipulated to look really good.
Oh, I've seen this before.
Fancy cake cover.
They make like the flowers out of it when
everything.
They put them on there.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen this.
They make big sheets of it, and then they have to drape it over and smooth it out and cut it.
If you
watch any of the cake shows?
I have, but I've never had fondant. I don't know. I did
fall asleep during most of them?
Mostly, yeah.
Every single show, they use that way more than like buttercream or whatever because it's more manipulable.
Well, people also search for buttercream, something called ganache, and marzipan.
Ganache.
That's what we got there with that. Anyways. That's what's going on. Big day for local chicken joints. And
yeah, Mary, maybe we should do like a live show at one of these chicken
joints. I don't think we can make it into the Raising Cane. I mean, they have a very exclusive guest list. They had Al Horford there at the one near BU yet last year. He was in there serving chicken.
We're the afternoon show on WEEI.
I know.
With host one and host two.
Don't you know who I am? I'm host one.
Yeah, I'm host two.
And this is the afternoon show, WEEI Afternoons, live at Fenway Park, by the way, where the Boston Red Sox, I got a little bit of inside news here.
Oh.
I was walking by the clubhouse on my way over, and the door was closed.
Yeah.
Normally, it's open.
I think it's day two of Alex Cora, and we'll obviously be able to ask him at 2:30. Day two of spend time with the family. Maybe don't get freaked out because we got a 4/5-game losing streak. They
right.
did just yesterday. They didn't have batting practice in IO, those types of things. They went out. They got the victory. So why not let it ride, right?
Yeah.
If you win big at the casino, you go, let it ride.
Let it go and keep going.
Hey,
keep
guys, we'll see you at game time. Just make sure you're there for first pitch.
Alex Cora, normally, when we're here at Fenway, comes in and joins us in studio.
Right. He's probably on 8 rings with Belichick fishing right now. And he's like, yeah, coach, we got to wrap this up. I got to get back to Fenway.
Alex Cora will be joining us by phone today. Because he's not going to be here until later.
Right.
Because I think that's exactly right, what you just said. I think that they're doing another one of these. We know yesterday they didn't get it. They didn't do batting practice. Didn't do anything.
Because you were freaking out
before the game. I was.
So there's a chance the players are starting to freak out and seeing the inevitable. And we couldn't even get Rob Bradford to say the season wasn't over. He wouldn't say it, but then he kind of said it with everything he said. So, you know, a good manager reads his clubhouse and says, okay, they're about to snap.
Yeah.
They're about to nosedive and not be able to pull out of it. Why don't we take a breath? And the breath worked. They go out. They get a win. They're throwing guys out at home plate. They're stealing bases. They're getting the hits they need.
Jaren Duran's making history.
Right.
Yeah.
Is he underrated right now?
Jaren Duran?
Yeah. Anytime you're the only person, I know their SID stats. Sometimes.
He was the All-Star Game MVP, so I'm not sure.
Do you feel that buzz? I don't.
I do. I think Jaren Duran's taking a huge step this year, you know?
Oh, he's taken a massive step.
Well, that involves being rated
I'm not
properly,
sure the buzz has followed suit.
Mm. Well, he did also have a bit of a setback.
I mean, he's
setback.
The best player on the Red Sox, right?
He had a bit of a setback in the middle of the year.
Stuff happens.
That does, but I mean, that may have lowered his Q rating a bit.
Okay.
You want to, right?
We all make mistakes.
We do. I mean, I haven't made that mistake in a while, I don't think.
In a while?
If ever. I mean, maybe
I wouldn't say it that way. Just say,
I was in middle school or something. But yeah, like that's one of those mistakes. I mean, listen, he's back on the team and he's hitting well again and having a hell of a season.
He's one of one.
He
Some
really
statistic,
is.
Statistic, I don't even know the whole thing. But
first player in history to do all that stuff.
Yeah, home runs, steals, doubles, triples. No, not named Jaren. Don't devalue it that way.
Well, you don't even know what it is.
It's home runs, doubles, triples, steals, and maybe a couple other things since 1901. He's one of one.
Oh.
He's good.
Well, I didn't know you were going to explain it so
Plus, thoroughly. He hit a home run last night to lead off the game and set the table.
Yeah.
Apparently, he liked having the afternoon off and not having to show up at the park early.
Sure. Now, what's interesting about that,
hater,
is when you're of a certain age, guys in their 20s, it's a young team, right? You have the day off. That's great. You're home, you're playing video games, you're out on the porch, you're drinking beer, you're doing whatever you're doing.
Oh, what was that last part?
Drinking beers.
I'm not sure we should be drinking beer before a game.
No, but hey.
Beer and chicken, maybe the new beer and
Red
chicken.
The Red Sox were shooting Jack Daniels in the log when they were down 3-0, so.
A little more veteran group, I'm not sure.
I would say that's probably true, but either way, whatever you're doing, however you choose to spend your free time.
Yeah.
The older guys, like Rich Hill gets told, you got to stay home with the fam until 5 o'clock. He's like, oh, God.
Wait, but can I go to the park?
Can I please
will it be open? I'd be able to get there?
Any chance that I can, just go there anyway? Just
clubhouse, hang out.
Throw a couple bullpen sessions. I don't know anything. Come on, you got to get me out of this house. Didn't Dustin Pedroia live right across the street? He'd come here every single day at 10 a.m.?
He was always in uniform.
Yeah.
He always had his uniform on everywhere.
He would not have. He would not have liked this, I don't think. But anyway, that's what the Red Sox are doing. It looks like anyway, as the clubhouse not open, Alex Cora not joining us live. It looks like another one of those. Hey, get here when you get here, and let's just go out and play some ball.
Okay, so on the record now, before we see the results later, do you like it? Because one day is it's a tension breaker, whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you like rolling it over? Do you like the let it ride mentality?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if I do it all year or maybe even the rest of the week. But
I mean, haven't you now set a tone? If you're Alex Cora and they go out and so let's just say they go out and blow doors tonight and they win 15-1. Don't you need to do it again tomorrow and keep it going?
Baseball players are very superstitious.
Yeah.
You know, They get into a routine. They do get something to wear. They wear the same underwear for like five years. Like, that's, yeah, you're right. I mean, I could see that being a thing.
I mean, it happens in the NFL all the time. There's often early in the year teams practice on Mondays, and then at some point you get like Victory Monday or Winners Monday. Mm-hmm. If you win on Sunday, you know you get Monday off.
Right.
It's a little different in the, like, in Major League Baseball, you play every day. Are we just going to stop coming to the ballpark early? We're just going to roll in around 7 and say, I'm ready. Give me a couple bands so I can loosen up. I'm good to go.
I know at some point they had like a crazy good record when they were wearing those City Connect jerseys, the yellow and blue ones. I think that's like evened out now or like plateaued or something, but that was one of those things.
Well, you know,
let's just wear them all the time.
Like, the flip side of that crazy record is their home record this year and the number of errors they make and the number of unearned runs they give up at Fenway Park.
Mm.
They have the worst home field quote-unquote advantage that there is.
Yeah.
They're a bad home team, and maybe that's why they were showing up too early, working too hard. Now they just got to stroll in.
Yeah. I think everybody could learn a lesson from that. You know, when things are going well, work less hard.
Did we get here too early today? Should we have just rolled in around?
I did. I mean, I was here at 1 o'clock. I scared this guy painting outside. I scared the hell out of him.
Yeah,
he was in the zone. He's painting. Yeah. He's like Bob Ross out there. I don't even know what he's painting. But there's a guy painting. So in our studio, it's over by Gate C, near where you had parked the strollers. And there was a guy there, and he was painting. And I just walked up behind him, didn't realize, you know, he was so in the zone. I just said, hey, buddy, how you doing? And he jumped like 10 feet in the air. I think I ruined this painting. So I feel bad about that. But you know what? You got to move on. You know, you got to just accept what happened and
move
on.
Life gives you lemons.
The guy's an artist. I'm sure he's able to fix any mistake I may have caused him to make.
Right.
And we go on from there. Anyways, that's what's going on here today. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I do have the call screener up and ready to go.
Woo!
And before we go to break here, I heard him call the midday show. I think he wants to congratulate us. Paul is in Rhode Island. Hello, Paul.
Uh-oh.
How you doing?
Hey,
listen,
Paul.
I'm going to say one time and one time only.
Okay.
We have to separate ourselves from the 6 Super Bowls glory. All that. You have to understand where the Lions at the bottom of the barrel.
Thanks for the call, Paul. I don't know what he's talking about.
Wait, he never got to the part where I wanted to hear that we're awesome and congratulations.
We have to go to break. He already called. He already called the show right before us, so you know you can only give the guys so much
airtime.
I'm sure he did, but he didn't get to the quick part. You knew that was going to be a long thing.
There's a chance he may not have ended up there. Anyway,
he wouldn't have even got. He would have forgot who he was even talking to. That was. I think I did the right thing there. So
anyway,
I don't feel bad about it.
I don't feel like we're still all that connected to the 6 championships.
I don't feel connected to him really at all. I mean,
we're in year 5 post Brady. We're now post Belichick. I mean, Mayo was here. You know, the Crafts are still here, obviously, but I don't feel a lot of connection or expectation. I actually go the other way. I'm getting a little annoyed that I made a proclamation in June that this team might win 0 games and everybody told me I was a moron. Now, all of a sudden, every call I see, every tweet I see, everybody's like, yeah, 0 wins might be in play. I haven't heard one person say, sorry, Hart, you were right, we were wrong, we shouldn't have mocked you at the time. Not one person.
Yep, and there's plenty of people you could. I'm not one of them. I didn't think that was a crazy take. I took the under on 4.5 wins. I think that could be on the table. I'm not willing to bet a lot of money on it, but there's long enough odds that I'd sprinkle a little something on that.
I did.
On the 0 wins, but I think it's a long shot. Either way, people are finally catching up, and they do owe you an apology. So anybody
bad team.
To call in and apologize to Andy Hart. The phone number is 617-779-7937. I can tell you he's going to be calling in about 7 minutes. That is Alex Cora, who will join us here by phone. But first, here's Stiz with what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox snapped their 5-game losing streak last night as they beat the Blue Jays 6-3 at Fenway Park. Jaron Duran had a homer in the first inning, made a little history in the process, becoming the first player in MLB since at least 1901 to record 40 doubles, 10 triples, 20 home runs, and 30 stolen bases in a season. Greg Weissert got the win. The two teams will run it back again tonight. First pitch at 7:10 from Fenway. Brian Baio expected to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. He'll face off against Chris Bassitt for the Jays. We'll have the MassMutual pregame for you, pregame show for you starting at 6:10. Don't forget, you can catch both the pregame and the game right here on WEEI, or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. Sox also selected 44-year-old lefty Rich Hill from AAA Worcester yesterday. One outing in 2024 would make Hill the only active player to appear in a game in each of the past 20 seasons. Patriots now have their official 53-man roster after yesterday's cutdown day. Bailey Zappe released by the Pats and was picked up by the Chiefs for their practice squad. Kicker Chad Ryland also released. Joey Sly will now be the Patriots kicker. Wide receiver Jalen Reagor and lineman Antonio Maffi will not return either. And head coach Gerard Mayo met with the media earlier today when asked if the team had decided on a starting quarterback for week one. Mayo said that the decision has been made, but would be announced tomorrow. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show coming up.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI. On WEEI.
And there's a shot on the right side, backing up and grabbing it at a hop and shallow right. Hambledon has it, throws to first, ball game over. And the Red Sox snapped the losing streak. Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 6-3. They go to 68 and 64. Toronto drops to 65 and 69. And the Red Sox lead the season series 5-3.
Yeah, it's good. And we talk about the defense today with the guys, you know, like we have to.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Be precise, we have to be better, you know, and we had conversations, and it's not lack of effort. Sometimes it's probably more, right? Like we're trying to do too much. Willie did an outstanding job getting behind that ball, throwing the ball on the money. Jaren playing the ball perfectly off the wall, and then Rafaela with the cannon to the plate. So it was a good one.
That was Alex Cora. That was the end of the Red Sox losing streak as they beat the Blue Jays last night. Got a little dicey at the end there, but they come away with the win. And joining us right now on our hotline here while we are live at Fenway, he's not here, though. Alex Cora, how you doing, Alex? How you doing, Skipper?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
Now, that was a nice win last night, a much-needed win. And you guys, as we saw, took a little time for yourselves, skipped over some things, got to the park a little bit later. Is it safe to assume this is something you're repeating again here today?
Yeah, we get into a point of the season that traveling, the schedule, and obviously the grind is catching up, and just to break the routine, you know, the guys spend time with your families, have lunch with them, do whatever you want to do, and show up later to the ballpark. As far as the work, they're going to hit in the cage. They're going to take grounders if they want to. But I think it's a good change, you know, for them just to kind of like recharge, reset, and keep grinding. And, we did it yesterday. It was good for them. We'll do it again today, and most likely we'll do it again tomorrow regardless of the result.
All right, very good. Good to know. By the way, Alex Cora, sponsored by Sherwin-Williams. The Sherwin-Williams Pro Plus programs help you manage and grow your paint business. Also brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and Arbella Insurance, here for baseball fans, here for good. So with that in mind, it seems like the results were what they were. Kenley Jansen, after the game, said that you guys have been pressing a little bit, that everybody had been kind of tight. Is that something that you observed? Do you agree with that assessment?
We got a lot of young guys playing the first big league season, right? And, you know, when you get to the big leagues, you're trying to establish yourself. The kids have done an amazing job so far. Let's not take that away from them. But obviously, you know, we put ourselves in a position that we get a chance to make it to the playoffs, and they've never been through that. That's not part of player development, right? Player development is about your skills, your swing, your defense, base running, your pitches. You know, it's not that in player development they don't care about winning, but it's actually secondary, right? We're trying to make these guys better so they can make it to the big leagues as soon as possible. And we had four bad days, too. You know, like, we went to Houston, we won a series. We went to Baltimore, we split a series. We beat the Rangers, the Astros swept us. So it's not as bad as people are portraying it. It just happens that when we lost four in a row or five in a row, whatever it is, other teams were winning, and then the standing changed. But yesterday we won. We gained some ground on some teams. The teams in American League Central, they're going to battle, you know, Detroit, Minnesota, Kansas City, and Cleveland. So from our end, take care of your business and then look around, see where you're at. And we get into September 1st. I always feel like that's when you say, okay, this is what we got to do to make it to the playoffs. Let's try to win the series against the Jays, go to Detroit, do the same thing. And by Monday, we know what we have to do, and we'll take care of the rest.
Alex, how much of your job is managing people, not necessarily managing baseball players, in an event like this where somebody might be pressing? Or even, I think they mentioned in the Nesson broadcast last night that maybe one of the reasons Yoshida is playing better is that his family's here and he's enjoying some home cooking from his family. How much is a baseball manager about managing people first and then baseball players second?
I think it's a huge part of what we do as a coaching staff, understanding what's going on, you know, with their families. You know, there's a lot of situations that obviously don't become public, but you have to deal with it. And, you know, we take pride in that. You know, I think if you take care of the individual, then the baseball player is going to be fine. And that's something I learned over the years with Davey Johnson, Tito Francona, Jerry Manuel, you know, that, yeah, they were great baseball managers. They managed baseball players. But at the same time, they really care about Alex Cora, the person. And I learned a lot from those guys, and I try to do the same thing with our players.
Just wondering, have you had any contact with Gerard Mayo? Because that's one of the things he's preached early in his tenure as the Patriots coach, is building relationships with players, the culture that he's setting. Any connection between you two guys yet?
No, not yet. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, Jaron Duran had a big, big night last night, leading off with the home run, had that great throw as well. And he also made history as, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, the first player ever to have 10 triples, 20 homers, 30 steals, and 40 doubles in a single season. The ascension of him this year is something that I'm sure you'd take a lot of pride in, especially considering some of the adversity that he's faced. What can you say about Jaron Duran on a day like today?
No, I mean, as a baseball player, it's just fun to watch. Just being the leadoff guy, you're in the dugout, and you know, from pitch one, you expect something great to happen. And the athleticism, the way he goes about it, you know, is second to none. To be honest with you, when the opposition is in awe of what he's doing, that tells you a lot. He's an impactful bat. Obviously, running the bases, he's done this for a few years, but you know, the willingness to become a great defender, I give him a lot of credit. You know, he was below average 3 years ago. We remember the inside the park fly ball by Tapia a few, 2 years ago, I think it was, the day in Kansas City when he lost two balls in the zone. And now I think he's leading the league in defensive run saves in center field. And it's fun to watch. The plays yesterday, you know, cutting that ball in the gap, throwing out Vladdy at second, playing the ball off the wall to give it to Rafaela and get the out at the plate. That would never happen a few years ago, but he put the work. There's a lot of people that help out, too. You know, Will Venable, who's in Texas now, got him going, got him getting more athletic in the outfield, move faster. Kyle Hudson has been on top of him the whole time, the last 2 years, and you can see the benefits of that. And I'm impressed. I'm happy that we have him, and this guy is going to be a good player for a long, long time.
I know the season's not over yet, but to this point, would you consider him the MVP of the team?
Yeah, he's up there with Rafi. Those two guys, they have carried the offense in different ways, but the impact of the leadoff guy from the get-go and obviously the defensive side of it, you know, he's been one of the most important players in our team.
When it is going the way you want it to be going and the style of play that you guys have been good at in terms of running and playing good defense and things of that nature, is that a style of baseball that Alex Cora likes? I mean, it's obviously different than 10 or 15 years ago. It was walk, home run, strikeout, walk. Like, we have a different style of baseball that seems like you guys are playing with Hamilton and obviously Duran at the top of the lineup. Do you like this? Is this Alex Cora baseball?
I don't think it's Alex Cora baseball. It's MLB baseball right now. They changed the rules. I think Theo, with the group up there in MLB, they wanted the game to be more dynamic. We saw it last year, right, with the D-backs. You know, they ran themselves into the World Series. You know, just playing good defense, running the bases well, advancing whenever they had a chance, and obviously they hit homers. You know, one of the things that, you know, I think we've done a good job, especially at home, because we don't hit so many home runs at home. We've been able to exploit the opposition as far as, like, the running game. And then when we go on the road, we hit more homers than at Fenway. So it's been fun to watch. Obviously, personnel has to do a lot with it. You know, we didn't expect Hamilton to be here this year, right? It was going to be Trevor and the rest of the group, and then Trevor goes down, and Hamilton took over, and he's a weapon running the bases. Although Trevor is also an outstanding athlete, but it's fun to watch. We don't rely on the home run. We saw it yesterday. You know, Rafaela hits a double. Duran hits a ground ball to second. Hamilton puts the ball in play. Rafaela scores. Hammy stole second. Casas hits a double. We score. So we got different ways of scoring runs. And, you know, I'm glad that we have this athletic group.
You brought up the differences between your team at home and on the road. It's a weird thing. You have a sub-500 record at Fenway Park, only team in the division with a losing record at home. And I know there's some weird splits in terms of errors and unearned runs. Is that just an aberration? Is there anything you can put
homers?
Yeah. How do you explain all that?
People don't talk about home runs. People don't talk about home runs. They always talk about the errors and all this. Yep. You know, on the road, we hit a home run every 24 at-bats. We're fourth in the big leagues. At home, we hit a home run every 31 at-bats. We're 21st in the big leagues. So instant offense is something that is important, too, at the big league level. And as you know, Fenway is conducive for right-handed pull hitters. You know, it helps them. You know, the wall is right there. We saw it with Suarez, Altuve, Bregman. We got, you know, in the lineup most of the time, we got three. O'Neill is the real power threat. The rest of them are, you know, good hitters, you know, that hit the ball the other way. Most of our hitters, the good ones, are left-handed hitters. And when they go the other way, usually it's a double. So it's not an excuse. It's the reality of it. And as far as the offensive part of it, like, you know, we have to manufacture runs at home. And then on the road, we hit the ball out of the ballpark. So that's part of it, too.
All right, time for the Sherwin Williams question of the week. Before we get to this, they're killing me on the text line right now. Do you hate being called Skipper, Alex? I'm sorry if you do, because I didn't know that.
It's okay. I don't like it. I think the only Skip the only Skip who's a manager in the big leagues is Skip Schumacher. That's it.
Skip, sorry.
The other ones were managers or yeah.
All right, won't happen again. Anyway, this question comes to us from Jorge Arucci of Level 5 Painting in Newton. It says, Alex, in your time here as both a player and a manager, what has been the most pivotal moment for you, and how has it shaped your approach to leading the team through triumphs and challenges? Wow. That's a good question.
Good question. I think 21, coming out of the suspension with the team that we had, it showed me that, you know, it's possible, right, as far as, like, talent, right? Like, we weren't the most talented team, but we played the game well, you know. We sucked defensively, but I think offensively we were really good. You know, the pitching part of it is always important. When you pitch, you get a chance. We had four guys that they had 30 starts. The bullpen was pretty solid. But a team like that, very similar to 13, right, although we fell short in 21, it makes it, you know, it's possible to make it to the playoffs. And I think we're very similar to that. We have to be better in certain aspects. You know, we got what, a month and a week, you know, to turn this around and make it, you know, make it more than interesting, right? Get into the dance. But 21 was the year that I was like, man, this is a fun place, you know, and teams like this, I know people love it.
Alex, before we let you go, there's one question in town that everybody seems to have an opinion on. Should the Patriots start Jacoby Brissett or Drake May at quarterback?
Man, I'm just thinking about the Miami Hurricanes, to be honest with you, when we talk about football. I just want them to beat Florida on Saturday.
Nice.
All right, fair enough. Alex Cora, thanks so much for the time today, and good luck tonight.
See you guys. Be well. Good luck.
All right, thanks. This is Alex Cora there joining us here on the WEEI Afternoon Show. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll react to some things that Cora had to say right there. And the Red Sox in August, they won last night, but it does seem like there's a pattern emerging here each year when it comes to this month. We'll examine that and look at an ESPN list of the best young players in the majors. That's all coming up right after this.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
How much of a relief was it for this team right now, given where you are, to just get back in the win column?
I think it's good for these young guys. You know, we all just calmed down a little bit. You know, I think this win is a good win. We just need to stop pressing a little bit. I feel like we are pressing a little bit too much right now. And, you know, we want to make things happen instead of just slow it down and let it happen. So, I think it was a great call by AC that shut that door till 4 p.m. today. And, you know, we're looking out for another one tomorrow.
It's Kenley Jansen, the closer of the Red Sox, who did give up a home run last night, which it wasn't a save situation, so whatever.
How are you bringing it up then?
Well, because it wasn't a clean inning. You know, it wasn't the cleanest form. If people were pressing, by the way, right? That's what he said. We're all pressing a little bit. He didn't have a great outing. But good enough. As the Red Sox come away with the win, breaking up their losing streak, a five-game losing streak, their win there against the Toronto Blue Jays, who they play again tonight. Brian Baio getting the start opposite Chris Bassett for Toronto. They'll be going at 7:10, and as Alex Cora just told us, they won't be getting here until later on in the afternoon, and they'll be doing that the rest of the week, basically, no matter what happens.
I like how we cut that off
or not. Yeah.
Regardless of the results today, we'll probably be doing it again. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it, quite honestly, because, again, one is like a right the ship kind of moment.
Like, if they get their ass kicked tonight,
you still don't have to come in?
You know?
Like, what if they get their... What if they blow doors the next two nights?
Well, then keep doing it, sure. So but he said we're going to be doing it no matter what. Like,
and then he did kind of say, well, and they can hit and, you know...
They can, if they want to come in, sure, right. But they don't have to.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see who takes advantage of that. I walked by. I mean, I'm listening. I was right here. I walked by and there was no one there. I said a couple of times that I think this team is, it's over, that I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
I love how you just like, it's over.
Yeah. Rob Bradford basically said that yesterday without saying it. I was a little bolder. I've said it a few times, and I've been saying it really since the trade deadline. However, one thing, one small detail in this entire race has got me reconsidering that a little bit. I'm not going back on it yet. But I am reconsidering a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit.
Can you call something over and then say it's not over? How does that work exactly?
Yeah, it's called changing your mind.
Okay.
It's happened before. I don't do it very often, and I'm not doing it yet, but I might, because right now the Red Sox are no longer chasing the Kansas City Royals in the wild card race. The Royals have been playing great lately. They've rocketed up the standings there in the Central. They have a better record than the Cleveland right now. And Minnesota is now the team that is the third wild card. And the Minnesota Twins, as well as they've been playing lately, although lately the last 10 games haven't been great, but they've had a very, very strong season. The Minnesota Twins are the only contending team that did less at the trade deadline than the Red Sox did. And for some reason, that brings me some hope, because that was a big part of why I declared the Red Sox dead. They're chasing the Royals. They're chasing the Astros. They're chasing all these teams who were very serious about the trade deadline, who went out there and made sure that they got who they needed in their rotation, in their lineup, in their bullpen, whatever. And the Red Sox made a couple of safe moves. You know, they made a couple of guys who weren't big names. They were eighth inning guys on bad teams. You know, they're both on IL now, by the way.
I was going to say, retroactively, they did nothing.
Yeah, right. Now
those guys are gone.
Come out in the wash. These guys are done maybe for the year. I don't know. We'll see how long they're out for. Inflammation, and Sims had a lat strain or something like that. So you're not going to be seeing them for a while, regardless. But they did go out and at least make those moves. The Twins didn't do anything. I mean, the Twins really just sat there and said, you know what? We're the Twins. We never do anything anyway. Like it's been going on like this for 20 years. We'll just see what happens. We'll see where the chips may fall. And the Royals were very active. Cleveland, not so much, but they've been leading the Central, and they've had the best record in the American League of points this year. But the Twins really didn't do much. And they're starting to come apart a little bit right now. So is Cleveland, by the way. I think there's an opportunity here for the Red Sox. At the very least, you look at him and you say, okay, you got, and don't call him Skipper, Alex Cora.
I think we all knew that. I think there's only one person here that
did. How did everyone know that except me?
I don't know. I've heard it before. He doesn't like it.
I didn't know that. I was
apparently all the Twitchers knew it. How do they know it?
That's a great question.
It was well known to everybody except you.
And if he didn't like it, you know what? I don't like being lied to about contract negotiations. And he lied right to our face, right in this room. And that's true. So maybe there's a little revenge there.
You did it on purpose.
As some may have suggested. Honestly, I didn't.
You poked the bear.
I didn't do it on purpose, but that sounds better than me just not knowing anything, which is the actual truth. But yes, he did come in and he said there's no number, no offer they could possibly make that would make me want to come down to the negotiating table and talk about an extension in season. And then, bam, he signs a big extension in season and made us look like a bunch of jabronis. But either way, that was not intentional, in case you were wondering. I just literally didn't know that. But Alex Cora has got something going here. You know, like all season long, it seems like he's been really in control of what this team is, what their direction has been. When they start to fall down, he picks them back up. Like, you know, it's just that's been the way he's managed this team. And it seems like when the Royals are ahead of you, as lame as they are, they at least were serious about the deadline. They went out and made moves. They made moves in the offseason. They outbid you for some guys in the offseason. And they're now rocketing up to the top of the Central. Now you just got to beat the Twins. And I feel a lot better about that than I do about Kansas City.
Yeah, to me, it's almost not really about the opposition. Are they going to play good baseball or are they going to play bad baseball? It's kind of like what he said. They got away from the baseball they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he also just kind of, I don't want to say made excuses, but he's like, it was overblown is basically how he painted it. We had one bad series. We were playing decent baseball, and then everybody freaked out because we had one bad series. Well, that's also because in the standings, you dropped to, what were they, 5 games out yesterday. That's a pretty good margin to close at this point in the season.
Yeah.
So to me, it's about how they play. Do they play what he thinks is their good style of baseball, or can they not hit, not pitch, and not field? Because if it's not hit, not pitch, not field, it's almost irrelevant what the other teams are doing.
Yes. Yes, it does. This is another yearly trend here in August. It seems like the Red Sox do start falling apart. John Tomasi had a good recap of all of this and how it seems like everything's basically just the same. Since 2018 was the last time they were good in August, they were 18-9. Since then, they've been 14-3, 9-18, 12-16, 12-16, 13-15 last year, and so far this year, 10-13. We'll see how it ends up going in September, but if last year was any indication, it was not a good situation there. So hopefully it's better than that.
So do you think this was, in light of those numbers,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say a desperation move or just an idea from him, like, hey, why don't we just give them a little time off? Like, in not
desperation. I think it was.
Not just in reaction this year,
absolutely,
though, but maybe, well, let's try something different than what hasn't worked in the past.
Right.
Right?
Like when Belichick took everybody here to play cornhole. That
right.
One,
like
that
you
one
start to try to come up with something to sway the emotion, the momentum, the direction of a team. And I wonder if not just this year was in mind, because it almost seemed like he felt the rest of the world was freaking out more than he was internally about this year.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he was looking at past years as well to change just the late season trends.
Yeah, very well could be. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will resume our Gerard Mayo Patriots conversation. We'll get to your phone calls as well. It's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.